Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 yes. Erev Tov. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Fraternal greetings. Salam to Tena Yestelin. Greetings, brothers and sisters. Here, here, here for the Rastafari, the Tuesday podcast, T to T, Testify Tuesday, right here, here, here on the ear and in the irid. I am Ras Iodonis Safari Yadin here. Yes, so we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 41. Here we're in the second Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. Noah, you know, do you know Noah? Do you know the real Noah? Yes, I. So here, 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 going to ride up right here, here, here. Give thanks. Hit up your social media, you know, send the links to the platforms, different platforms out there. Also building our own social media. Heal up to Sister Fanai, Sunlight, Site Media, all your media work, Digital Angel. Also, Rastafari TV. Yes, I. Rastafari TV. Hail out to Sister Fanai, Sunlight. Yes, I. More light. Make it shine. Make it shine. Because since the recent Facebook thing, I don't know if you know about the Facebook thing, the Facebook thing, you know, with Facebook and their products, WhatsApp. Also, Instagram. What else they have? Well, the Facebook, the WhatsApp, the Instagram all went down. But see, that right there was a shot across the bow. I don't know if ones and ones have checked out the 60 minutes. Is it 60 minutes overtime? Because some of the highlights, you know, the couple of minute clips and everything from the 60 minutes talking about, you know, the hurtful, harmful algorithms that Facebook has been using, you know, to stir up hate and strife, you know, because what they say, if it bleeds, it leads, right? If it bleeds, it leads. Well, she exposed whistleblower. Forget her name right now, but check out that 60 minutes overtime, the 60 minutes overtime. Why I'm pointing to that even though many of these the social media, the main social media things like Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp, is working right now. Ones need to be very cautious, very careful. Also, heal up to Priest Isaac, you know, with the annual radio. It caught something on the Sinetter, right? So you be respectful. You respect with the eye now. We be respectful to the eye, you know, on the Sinetter platform where he gave a presentation. I think it was called The Truth of Rastafari. It was a good presentation about 90 minutes or so, about 90 minutes and an hour and 45 minutes, you know, very, very good presentation. And then how do Yadi say? The Yadi them, I and I Benjamite, you know, brothers Jaman say some pussyclot, you know, some Garfield. You like Garfield the cat? No, but the cat in the cartoon is a little more real than this cat. He's trying to say that, well, you can only be Rasta, right, if you are Jamaican. You know, so he's trying to get in this tribal war. That's some COINTELPRO right there. We're going to be burning more fire on that as well. But just a couple of words here, here, here. We're out of the island season right here. We are out of season right here. What do we mean by out of season? Well, first 7 months of the year from the ecclesiastical, the churchical, the holy year, beginning around the April, May time, the month of Abib. Those 7 months or seven moons, we have the seven feasts, the seven festivals of Yahuwah, Jehovah. Now here, 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 coming out of that particular time right here is out of season. So we still have the Torah readings and feedings, but we don't have those appointed times, those seven times. That's what it means, like in season, out of season. Here we're going into the winter moons. We're in the season of the time of the winter moons, the time for study. The time for study. How do we know this? The Ethiopic Book of Jubilees. Get a copy, right? Or download the PDF. I think we have the PDF available. We also have the hard copy available at logs.org. Or some other good books, you know, reference books. Here to study in the season, the time. Here we begin again at the beginning of our sabbatical study. So here we're in the second Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. And that second one is known as Noah or Noah, Noah, Ethiopically Noah. Also Noah. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here for the T to T. Yes, I. A couple opening words testifying right here, Yadin, Yadin. Yes, I, your brethren, Yadin. Yeah, I want to say, I'm Yankee. Yeah, I'm a black American. I'm a Judahite, Yehuda. You know the prophecy of Judah, but we also heal up the Benjamites in the Isle, the Caribbean, Jamaica. Yes, I, Benjamin, also Lewi, also Levi. Those three main right there, they're there because of the heavy melanation among the tribes of Yisrael, right, to whom more is given, of course, but of course, more is required. So here, going to write up with St. Peter. Oh, interesting fact. You know, some Yardies or Jamaicans will make you believe, maybe they believe this too, right, that if you're Jamaican, you know, then you're Rastafari. So you got to watch these lies, these COINTELPRO lies, and testify to the truth of the King of Kings, Ketamawi Haile Selassie. But the fact is, up here in this North Country, here, Black America, that they say we're like 13%, right? Statistics say we're 13, well, they say 13, some say 14 now, after all these years, only going up by one percentage point. Well, that is somewhat, you know, believable, or that might be somewhat believable, right? You know, seeing all that has been done, all the genocide against I and I. So with 13, maybe 14% Black Americans, Judahites up here. When I say Judahites and Black Americans, directly I'm saying those who can trace their lineage, right, up here in this North Country for between 2 to 3 or 4 or more generations, right? So we're 13%, 13, 14 up here. And then we have in Jamaica, right? Not all Jamaicans are Rastafari. In fact, many Jamaicans have been those who were persecuting the Rastafari. So don't make ones like Garfield of the HOK, you know, of the HOK, the HOK was a House of Consciousness, you know, see from that circle, actually House of Consciousness is Sarneta, but he's actually Dagger Squad, Garfield, one who is trying to stir up this kind of tribal war right now. But the facts, since you like to so-called be like, well, let's deal with the facts, not spirituality, not the Bible, but let's deal with like the academic, the consensus, you know, like what the white supremacist media or the white supremacist academia can kind of stamp and verify. Well, of Jamaicans, only 1%, maybe 1 to 2% is Rastafari. Rastafari, so to the called children faithful Rastafari, right, in Jamaica, come out of her. See, that's why they killed Bob, Burhana Selassie, actually. That's why, right, that's why Bob was killed, at least he was shot at by some of them, but that's why, that's one of the reasons, when he said in that interview, he said, well, Jamaica's like a nice place, but he can never give up a continent for an island. So my brothers and sisters in Jamaica know that you're 1%. Even the recent Nzinga King situation that occurred. I mean, think about it for a moment. The Nzinga King, a daughter just being trimmed up by some minibus thing, and people didn't have the mask, and maybe she was questioning this or that, and she was trimmed up by a female popo, a female. They say man to man is so unjust. Children don't know who to, well, woman to woman, right? Just keep the facts live and direct. But only 1%, 1 to maybe 2% right, of the Jamaican population truly is Rastafari. A lot of ones try to say, like, yeah, they Rasta, so forth and so on. But you see, when the scripture talk about the wolves in sheep clothing, yes, I testify St. Peter, St. Peter Tosh, and they also killed St. Peter, St. Peter Tosh. Testify, yes, I.
what Jah has done for I. Never fails me.
Yes, yes, yes. St. Peter, St. Peter. Peter Tosh right there. Find that theme song here for this Testify Tuesday. Here, here, here. The second day of, well, the second day of the week is actually the third day from Sunday. But here, 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 our podcast day here for the Tuesday podcast. Testify to what Jah Rastafari. Now St. Peter testified to Rastafari. Who is Rastafari? why I. Rastafari, Rastafari. Rastafari doesn't come from Jamaica. Rastafari, Rastafari. Tafari, Liz Tafari. The man child born in Ethiopia. As the lightning, the light shines from the east to the west. God bless. This is why I love King Selassie. Kadama with Abdullah.
The home place is to help.
Rewind and come back, Selector. That's right.
Give thanks and praise.
I love
it.
I love
it.
Then this is the revelation, tell me so. I see your prophet in Bilam. Dirty Babylon, we must the Jaja song. I say, hey, still I still love me. Zion and Judah, for what I'm born. And I say, hey, still I still love me. And that's why I the team will come to temple at every regime. Demons tremble when they hear him come up with Father Addis Ababa, repatriate the sons and the daughters. Yes, we love the lonely Zion and Judah.
Ethiopian Hebrews, and after the order of Melchizedek, we have Psalm 82, the evening psalm, evening chant.
Psalm 82.
Mizmor pevet, mizmor le'asav, mizmor le'asav, mizmor le'asav, mizmor le'asav, mizmor le'asav, mizmor le'asav, mizmor le'asav.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el, el.
He judgeth among the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods.
Bekerev Elohim
Yishpot. Elohim, 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 Elohim.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Inherit all nations. Inherit all nations. Inherit all nations.
The evening psalm, like today's daily psalm, Psalm 41, has a theme of the poor and the rights of the poor. Hear Ras Shiloh. That's a 5%. Got the 85%. Got the 10%. huh? Got the 5%, all right? Sufferer's prayer right here, here, here. Mizmor kaf, slicker, slicker, slicker. Mizmor mi, maim, aleph. Yes, I, maim, aleph. Yes, here's Psalm XLI, a sufferer's prayer. A sufferer's prayer. Very interesting right here, 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 according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, after the order of Melchizedek. Here, for the leader, the chief musician, a psalm of Dawid, of David, the well-beloved. Happy is he. Now, in your KJV, in the KJV Bibles, you probably say blessed. We've gone through that before, but go through that again. We don't get tired of going through it. Someone's going to be like, I'm tired of telling you this over and over. Patience, patience, patience. Some might have not heard. Don't want to offend. Here, happy is a more correct word instead of like blessed. There's the baruch. Baruch, abarakata, blessed, like to increase, blessed. And then there's the ashrei. Ashrei is like Robeinu say in the Beatitudes or New Testament Beatitudes. Blessed is the man, blessed is he, blessed. It's translated that way, but really it's happy. Got into that, we'll get into it again. But here, first verse right here, happy is he that considereth the poor. Jehovah will deliver him in the day of evil. Now, considereth, considereth. Let's just get the KJV right here. Hold on. Hold on right here. The KJV to compare and contrast. You know, as we study, study, right? Study to shew ourselves approved. Study to know the truth for I and I selves. But we can be naive. We can believe what we hear say, but it's better to know for show for ourselves. So here, Psalm 41 to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Blessed, it says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Now, the sense of blessed, once again, is ashrei, ashrei, from Asher. Asher. Now, it's an interesting word, Hebraically speaking. Ashrei, like the tribe of Asher, Asher. It also has a kind of a sense of like happiness, sense that one is rich, rich in happiness, rich in joy. You know, for you to be happy in heart and mind, right? Happy. Happiness here is not so much a feeling and emotion, but it's a state of mind, right? A state of mind in troublous times. You get great strength, strength from that, great strength from that. Here, here, here. We have Psalm 41. So happy is he that considereth the poor. Little build right here. A little build is necessary. It's important. So Hebraically here, Asherei maskil el dal. Asherei maskil el dal. Asherei, happy, happiness, happiness. Maskil, maskil. Maskil is a very interesting word. It's also found in Psalm, which Psalm is it? The 47, it's the Rastaman, right? The real Rastafari of the true faith, not just one who just, anyway, let's focus on this here. Verse 7, 47, 7, 4. For God, here says, for Elohim, the power is the king. Chilahim, the power is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises, sing ye Isis with understanding. So there, that sense of understanding. Remember, we're looking at the translation from low degrees to high degrees. Right? It says, maskil, maskil. Now, what is maskil? Let's scroll forward right here, here, here. Just a couple of keys right here in the opening of today's daily psalm. So here in the Hebrew, looking at the Hebrew as His Majesty, Kadamawi Halasalansi refers to Hebrew as that Meseratawi Kwankwa, that foundational language. Yeah? Yeah. Here, here, here. For God is the King of the earth. Here it says, Ki Melech Kol Haaretz Elohim. Ki for Melech. For Melech, as we have in Melchizedek, Melchizedek. Melech, Ki Melech Kol Haaret, for king, and king, according to the metaphysics of it, is that ruling intelligence, right? The divine intelligence, the ruling intelligence. that intel. Now, as we build on it, and we hear a lot of folks talking about sovereign and sovereign and sovereignty, but what is sovereign really? And how is it that he is King of Kings, but we all in him and through him are sovereign, have that divine intellect? Ki melech kol ha'aretz, of all the earth. Elohim, Hailahim, the power. Zamru maskil, they're the word maskil. Zamru from zamar. Now zamar, interesting word. It's shared, it's a root word in the Ethiopic, in the Royal Amharic, as well as here, Hebraically in the Masoretic. Zamru is a command when speaking to y'all or you all. Like saying to the I, then we're ready to chant Isis, and I say, or one will say, Zamru maskil, Zamru chant Isis. KJV and other Bibles bring it out as sing ye, sing y'all. But we have different words for sing, like what kind of singing? It's chanting, you know, Isis, as I and I Rastafari, as we chant Isis, Zamru, chant Isis. And Zamru from Zamar is at the root of Mizmor and Mezmor. So the Psalms are really Isis, right? The ancient Isis. Our Psalms. Isn't it interesting that most churches, when they talk about praise, let's sing praise, most of their praise have nothing to do with the Psalms. Isn't it interesting? They make up some other kind of stuff nowadays, you know, but if we look in the true churches and the true orders, this is the roots, the foundation. Zamru, chant Isis, y'all, maskil. Now here in the notes, it points us to Psalm 32 and 1. All right, so here we're going to and fro. This is what it means when it says, you know, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly explaining the word of truth. In other words, that right there, right, in the scripts, in the glory of his majesty, Kedemawi Haile Selassie, he says, for my part, I glory in the Bible. We hear a lot of ones saying that they glory in Kedemawi Haile Selassie, even taking on his name. You know, but then they throw the Bible behind them. Uh-oh. Does that offend some? Well, be offended, because how you think the King of Kings feels about it, if we would say that, right? If we dare say that, how would he feel about it? Here, Maskil. Here points us to Psalm 32. And here, Maskil, used in the title of 13 Psalms. In form, it corresponds to the word in verse 8, I will instruct thee, maskil, from sakal, sekel, or is it really sakal, be instructed, overstand, be wise, I will instruct thee, and has accordingly been understood and understood as a didactic poem. We hear about certain ones, and ones are called autodidact. Oh, so-and-so was an autodidact, like self-taught to teaching, the idea of teaching. So it's a didactic poem. So here we're in the opening part of Psalm 32, just to zoom in on what this word maskil means here, as is found in the opening of today's daily psalm, Psalm 41. But such, some say, a definition does not suit all the psalms that have the heading. So many of the psalms have the heading or the superscription, the part that most people avoid, they don't even read or focus on that. That's a little small type in the KJV Bibles before the first verse. For us, Hebraically, according to the roots, that right there is the first verse. Now here it says in Psalm 47, right, and 8 in the Hebrew, or 47 and 7 in the KJV, it occurs the phrase, sing ye, sing y'all, praises, Isis, in a skillful song. So here we look at the KJV, the King James. I discover a version that's not the King James version. Here in the KJV it says, for God is the King of all the earth. And the second part of the verse says, sing ye, sing y'all praises with understanding. So here, KJV says, with understanding. From the Hebrew, Hebraically, it says, sing your praises, chant your Isis. More better translation, chant your Isis in a skillful song or a maskil, a maskil. Some coming from the English perspective might read the word, you know, might make a little error, not understanding, but hopefully growing in grace, and say maschil, maschil. It's not maschil, it's maskil, right? Maskil. This seems to indicate a special kind of, some say, musical rendering. Now, that is often and has become the accepted meaning. Hold on, Ray. Hold on. We're going now to Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, right? All right, we're going to chant praises. That means before we open our mouth to give eyes, it's like, you know, if one's going to sing like music, you have been part of a choir or musicians or ones that take that form of artistry, you know, and that discipline seriously. It's like, first, we got to look at the music sheet. You know, let's learn what the music is saying here before we even open up our mouth to, you know, pretend or to sing in reality. So right here, we're looking up in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. All right, we have it available at the LOJS.org for free. Also, we advise one to get a hard copy, but check out the PDF, at least for right now. So here, we're looking up maskil. M-A-S, all right, just going right here, M-A-S, one more page, M-A-S-C-H-I-L, M-A-S-C-H-I-L. So the C-H in Hebrew, from Hebrew, is never ch, it's never ch sound. Now, yes, that we have that in the Royal Amharic. It's a modification from the gutters, but M-A-S-C-H, the C-H is always a ch, right, a guttural sound, maskil, right, or a K sound, right, maskil. Here, Metaphysical Bible Dictionary defines maskil as teaching, coming from the Hebrew root word, a teaching, circumspection, instruction, in wisdom, in wisma. Very interesting. Here, the second sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, for the first, we focus on the first Hebrew word of the Bible, of the Torah, Bereishis, and bringing out the link with Reishis and the Hebraic Ivine Feminine, or wisdom, Chokmah, and how in wisdom did Hailahim create the heavens and the earth. In she, he created the heavens and earth. So there, answering the question of many ones and ones say, well, God, he, but what about she? Well, there, it's wisdom, right? Wisdom, chokmah. So my skill is teaching, circumspection. Teaching, circumspection. To be circumspect. Instructing in wisdom, in chokmah. Inducing, understanding, understanding, overstanding. Inducing, thus, piety. Leading to piety, right, to an upright, right, a jar-respecting way. So the title of several psalms, such as Psalm 32, Psalm 42, Psalm 44, Psalm 53. Now, here in today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of Ethiopian Hebrews, after the order of Malachi Tzedek, we have this word right here. We have this here in Psalm 41. We have this in the second word. Well, actually, it would be the second word of the second verse, but from the KJV perspective, the second word. Anyway, where it says, Ashrei maskil il dal. Ashrei maskil il dal. Ashrei. So it will not be blessed there in KJV sense, the way KJV translates it. It will be more correctly happy or happiness. Happiness. And not speaking of the feeling of happiness, but that state of heart and mind of happiness. Ashrei maskil il dal. Happy is he, happiness, one who considers. Who considers the poor, one who considers the poor. So that word that's brought out in translation as consider. KJV says the same thing? Yeah. KJV here, Psalm 41. And Psalm 41, also another note, Psalm 41 is the last psalm of book one of the Psalter, of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is five different books are in the book of Psalms. So at Psalm 41, it is the last psalm in book one. All right, so Psalm 42 begins book two of the Psalter. So here, blessed is he that considers the poor. So the difference between the Hebrew and the KJV that we would like to note for the Chabarim, the brothers and sisters, is blessed there. Blessed there should be upgraded to happy or happiness. Happiness, happinesses, happiness. But here, moving forward with the metaphysics of maskil, the word that is brought out in translation as consider. The meta of maskil is spiritual, iritical, spiritual inspiration, instruction. The inner understanding, as I and I would say, the inner standing, or word of truth unfolding to the individual consciousness. Here, a lot of people talk about consciousness. Individual consciousness and inducing true understanding, understanding, wisdom, and says godliness or Jah-likeness. Since man was not emanated from a deity or a god, so forth and so on, but man was created in the image and after likeness. So here, the maskil, right? The maskil represents a spiritual inspiration, instruction, the inner understanding, understanding, or word of truth unfolding to the individual, the indivisible dual, the individual consciousness, and inducing true understanding, wiseness, wise mind, and Jah-likeness to reflect Jah in I-9 lives and I-9 liberty. So right there, focusing on this word and just part of the first verse. Go into our study, right? Come back with reason. This is how we reason. That's how we study iron sharpen iron. How we grow in grace and real knowledge of the Bible, real knowledge of the scripture, real knowledge of the glory of his divine majesty, Kamawi, Haile Selassie. The other stuff is just outer court stuff. This is the inner court stuff right here. This is the inner court. Yes, more than stuff, but you know how we speak here in this angle-less. But anyway, considereth here in the sense is to deal wisely with. So, first verse, Asherei maskil ledal, happiness, one who dealeth wisely with the dal, the poor. It is not written, blessed is he that giveth to the poor. Check. It is not written, blessed is he that giveth to the poor. Just pause on that for a moment. See, it refers to a man, a male or female, but here, to whom more is given, more is required. It refers to a man who considers, who has some wisdom, right, some circumspection, some insight, who considers how this meritorious act of considering the poor can best be carried out. It's like the old saying, like, well, I could give you like a, the saying goes, I could give you a fish or something like that. Man hungry, I could give you food every time you need food, or I can show you how to fish for yourself. I can show you how to get food for yourself. I could give you money, or I could show you how to make money in that sense. All right. He or she takes thought of the most effective way. What is the most effective way to help a person in need? Because sometimes the most effective way is not just to just give every time somebody, because you're not really helping them. You're making them dependent, deep dependency. Right? You're not really making them independent. You're almost making them a slave in a sense. So this is why this psalm is so very interesting right here, even from the first verse. Happiness is he that considereth. This is why the focus on the word considereth. What does considereth mean? What does considereth mean? Now, even the word poor in the Hebrews of some great interest. The word dal, it's the word dal, like D-A-L, dal. The word here for poor, ashrei maskil il dal. The word, the Hebrew word for poor, dal, it signifies in a sense feeble. But check it here, 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 shema, shemuli. Right? Not necessarily a poor man, how we understand in this Western Gentile world, a poor man. It here applies to one who may be enfeebled in health, Not necessarily a person who have no money in that sense. That's why if you read the continuation of the psalm, you get a context, right? It's an evil thing cleaveth fast to him. And now that he layeth, like lieth down, he will rise up no more. Like something is affecting his health psychologically, right? Or his physical physical health. That's why it says in the second part of the verse, right, the yom ra'a, ye maltehu Yahuwah, Shahovah, he be, will I deliver him, ye maltehu, will malat. Interesting, the Hebrew, the word malat, and then we have bamarinya, melata. Here, ye maltehu, he be, will cause him to escape, right? In the yom, another word also found here in Hebrew and also in the Ge'ez, the word for day, yom, beyom, in the day, ra'ah, in the day of evil, in the day of trouble, in like an ill day, illmatic day, you know, day of evil, a day of trouble, a day of bad things. The yom ra'a yimaltehu Yahuwah, he who be, his divine majesty, will I live, of course, him to escape. The yom ra'a. Yes, I, Rastafari, here, going to write up a little rhema. Here connected with today's daily psalm here on the Tuesday podcast. Here we are at the hour mark, going into the second Iowa. Just keeping ones and ones informed. Any ones on the live stream sometime hearing, and a few ones have said, Chan, they know like when to call in. Just the timing on the live stream, listening to the live stream. Got an hour. We're entering into the second Iowa. So ones and ones, keep the number, share the number, hit up your social media, hit up the social media platforms. 515-602-9761. That's 515-602. 9761. Here, we have Popcorn, Abundant Life, words of wisdom, right here, zooming in on these psalms here in this section, Psalm 40, 41, 42, 43, yes, I
was
impatient
for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and heard my cry. He also brought me out of the horrible pit, and out of the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock and establish my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, Behold, I forward. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You know yourself. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have not declared your faithfulness and your salvations. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the ears of my head. Therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
No easy, when people are troubled, and every time I try to believe so, every time I try to bring you down. Sometimes you feel like giving up.
Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seeks to destroy my life. Let them be driven backwards and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God.
Get to you, listen to me keenly. This is not easy, believe me. Some of them will kill you neatly. But you kill yourself and love you, them don't mean it. You believe yourself, man. Don't tell yourself. You see them when you grudge your eyes, you want them with your hands.
Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him and his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it.
I always left my grandmother and gone all about it, my friend. Born as a leader. Because if I take on road from where I look at it. And we used to suffer. Really, really suffer.
Together against me. Against me they devise my heart. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I put my trust, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heels against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me, and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this time I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. Blessed be the Lord of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. When shall I forward and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night.
Not night. Them try not to get me out. How them a go stop me now? King Celestia, you let me out. How them a go chop me now? And every time you try to be deep, them try to bring me down. Sometimes you feel like giving up. I'm not giving up. Rather you alone to me.
They continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep. The noise of your waterfalls, all your waves and billows are gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemy reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against the ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and your tabernacle.
Life over death.
To the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance, and my God. Yeah, man, I saw the thing, is it? Yeah. But we are born of wicked people right now. But we are born up bad mind people and evil, Lord, man. Yeah, man. Oi, oi.
Yeah, you may say now. You know the boss this, man. I tell you, say life are the greatest. Yeah, not care much time them fight, them can't win, you know, them always fail. Cut and clear all demon and devil. Give thanks for the Most High for the up rising in the morning beside me Empress. Give thanks for life and the blessing they give you on the earth. Protect us from danger, these plagues and pestilence of these times. You know, my name is Andre Hugh Sutherland, aka Popcorn, the Annual Boss, the 876 God. That is it. Anyway, to the chief musician, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause.
Yo, God, you are a devil every time, here.
Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings,
When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest up me from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Igayan, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectations of the poor shall not be perished forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, why? And wither as green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, as thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who is prosperous in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any ways to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at them, for he seeth that day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their word shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be the fat of the lamb. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borrow and pay it not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as bless of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beginning to bread. Is ever mercy merciful, and landeth, and his own seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, forsake not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hands, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, they shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him,
but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and be wholly upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they are trusting him. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against those that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my heart. Let them be as a chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliver the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, poor and the needy from him that spoilt him. False witness they rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humble my soul with fasting, and prayer returning to my own bosom. I behave myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I praise God heavenly, as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity, they rejoice, and gather themselves together. Yea, the objects gather themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and not cease. With hypocritical mockers in feast, they gash upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from destruction, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them be, or mine enemies, wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Ha, our eye hath seen it.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm going to testify. I'm going to testify. What Jah has done for I.
Being here today's daily song. Give thanks, Popcorn, for that read and chant and the Psalms and the Ayabingi right there, there, there. Yes, I. Did you know, statistically speaking, they say that we, Judahites, so-called black Americans, are like, they say 13, some say 14%. Wow. I mean, you can see the enemy and adversity and adversaries we're up against. But then look at I and I brothers, the brethren and sistren. Even in Jamaica, they say that the Rastafari is about 1% to 2%. We're not talking about no secret business. It's in your heart and over here. But the persecution against I and I brothers and sisters everywhere. Just call about that
statistically speaking, 1%, talk about the 1%, the called, chosen, and faithful. Well, here is a sufferer's prayer, right here, Psalm 41. We took some time to, like, go into a little bit of the first from the KJV, the King James Version, the first verse that says, blessed. Actually, that word is ashrei, happy, happiness. It's happiness in the sense of the Beatitudes. You know the Beatitudes of Robeinu, Einai Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, Yeshua HaNotri, Yeshua HaMoshiach. Here. Let's just go here. What is it? Chapter 5, 6, Matthew, for a moment. Now, there's the kind of blessing that's like the increased blessing, like that Baruch. That increase, right? That increase blessing. And then we have that state of heart and mind blessing, that happiness blessing. Because this is why the true sense is happiness is he or is one who considereth. Then we went into maskil. If one's the one just hearing in, just tuning in, just rewind it when ones get a chance to the earlier part of this podcast here for this T2T, Testify Tuesday, the Rastafari Tuesday podcast here, to go over that in more details. Considerous is the word maskil. Maskil. It's the same word used in Psalm 47 and 7. Remember the elders, the patriarchs, you know, in the groundation. Going over that verse right there to chant Isis with overstanding. That's the verse right there, the overstanding, or KJV says understanding. The word is maskil. Maskil, to deal wisely with. So as to get the true context here, happiness, the happiness of one who considereth the poor, considereth the poor. Because, you see, poverty, some people in the Western Gentile counterfeit Christianity, they make us think, make us be naive, you know, that so-called being poor, you know, being poor is a virtue. Well, what kind of poor? Maybe we should ask them to articulate what kind of poor you mean. Because the word poor here, Hebraically speaking here, in this opening verse, Ashrei maskil dal, Ashrei, the happiness, maskil. Maskil, one who considereth, one who deal wisely with, one who is circumspect with, il dal, to the dal, to the poor. The word dal here more is concerning one who is feeble or enfeebled, not necessarily a man that has no, you know, like no wealth. And even from the Hebrew perspective, one who has no wealth, we are instructed, right, according to the glory of Kedemawi Haile Selassie. According to the glory of, as once would say, if I may dare say, Selassie, right? According to the B-I-B-L-E, we're instructed in the commonwealth and the community, right? Zebeze, right? One and one to look out for one and one, right? Ersbersacho, Bamarimia, Ersbersacho, one for one another, Zebeze, one for another, right? To look out for one another. So the poor, even when they are poor, it's not looked down upon, but it's not necessarily a virtue if one just is so-called poor in that sense. That's a lie, as the saltines, the crackers, the Beckerwood have lied about so many other things, you know, saying that Yeshua was some blonde hair, you know, blonde hair man in that hot part of the world without no melanin. You know, he lied about the cover story, but then he also lied about the contents of the book. So it's not just good enough if we say, well, okay, Yeshua, Jesus is black, and we have a black picture, or, you know, we give him an afro. If we still are reading the contents from a counterfeit Christian or Western Gentile state of mind. Here in Matthew chapter 5, when it says, blessed, ashrei, happiness are the poor in spirit. See, some people will just focus on the first part, not even to hear the whole thing. They'll say, see, it said, blessed are the poor. So it's a blessing. No. Listen. Shema. Listen. It says, blessed, translation, but more correctly, Ashrei, happiness, the poor in spirit, the humble ones, one who's humble in spirit, and irate. All right? You know, it says that pride goes before a fell. pride go before a fall. It says, Asherei, happiness, the poor in spirit, in irish. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, but somehow people read that right there and thought it meant that, you know, poverty. You know, and then we go through these sometimes, like, you know, these and those, again, argument. We pull on in the Bible, the teaching is matched the scripture, studying, and to show ourselves approval. And they're saying, well, the Bible teaches, you know, to be poor. I said, nah, that's just the way you've been taught by the peckerwood, the cracker, the Gentile. And I guess they don't get it. I guess they still believe the cracker, the Gentile, more than their brother. But here, Asherei, happiness, the poor in spirit. That's a Hebraicism to say one who's humble. And the same word there for when they say blessed, more correctly, the Asherei, is the same word here in today's daily psalm where it says happiness is one who considereth, deal wisely with. Now, take note, it's not written, even in the translation where it says blessed, it's not written, blessed is he that giveth to the poor. See, something very important about this right here. It doesn't say happy or blessed is he who gives the poor. And this is not discouraging giving one to another. In fact, according to HaTorah, it's our duty. Whether we like it or not, if we have it, whether we like it or not, it is our duty. We're duty bound. Because one's going to say, well, why do you study the Torah? I said, because it's ours. Well, why do you say you're a Jew? Because I am. I mean, what more I need to prove it to you? But see, because they took these things from us and, you know, made, try to make the cat a dog, right, and try to make the lion a wolf. And then after a while, we recognize that's not our nature, right? We'd like to share a little something right here as we move forward. But what this refers to, it refers to a man, male or female, but to whom more is given, more is required, so man up, to a man who considers, think wisely. Like the old saying, I could give you a fish. If you're hungry, I'll give you food right now, but if I recognize you're in a hungry belly condition, and if I am blessed or happy not to be in that condition and you my brother and I seek to help you, I can show you how to fish. You know what I'm saying? Or I can give you money because you need money. But then if I recognize, well, you don't know how to make money and I know how to make money, I can help you or invest in you in order for you to make money. You see, this is what it's saying right here. This is what it's saying right here, here, here. And even as you mentioned, the whole idea of poor is not looked down on in the Hebraic sense, right? Only in the counterfeit, calcified pineal gland, a whitewash, in other words, to say a whitewash sense. But here, this refers to how the good deed, the good act, the meritorious act can be best carried out, right? What is the most effective way? What is the most effective way to help a person in need? Now, because of this right here, 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 we're going to ride it with this, but let's just hear the whole psalm right here, right, with some of the Hebrew highlights, and then we're going to follow up with this coming forward.
Psalm 41.
Mizmor mem aleph lam natseyach mizmor le David.
Blessed is he that considereth the poor.
Ashre maskil el dal.
The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble.
Beyom ra'a yemalletehu Adonai.
The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting.
Baruch Adonai Elohe Yisrael, me ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam, amen ve'amen, 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 ve'amen.
And amen, 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 and amen.
So here, I'd like to follow up on something that we call how real Rastafari, those who are faithful to the teaching of I and our namesake, not introducing a lot of other kind of philosophies. No, we can't take the name, even if you abbreviate it, Rasta. You know, from Rastafari, you still, it's like identity theft if it's not connected with our namesake. But how real Rastafari and we, the black Jews, get richer. And we say richer, scripturally speaking, from teaching with magic, it doesn't mean just, you know, like somebody just like with dollar bills or something like that. No, rich in spirit, right, and soul, and body, you know, like in material, you know, and health and wealth. Right, it's the key. It's the key. So here, as Ross Michael and the sons of Negus, you know, he says, we, the black Jews, yeah, tell them. So once in the context. Yeah.
You named a God and is a rebel among men. He didn't know like the name. Yes, and you name Jagat and it's terrible among men. We them no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. We them no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He then no like your name.
I and I are the black Jews. And Israel King is Israel God. And upon the crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified, you see I-N-R-I.
Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
So here, I'd like to share something that is called 15 Reasons Why Jews Are Richer. Now, I know people have a lot of kind of different thoughts about Jews, and they kind of focus on the counterfeit instead of what is the fact. And we have some notes here, right here. But what does the Torah teach? Right? The Torah teaches self-learning, right? Education, a hunger to learn. Teaches I and I to be financially secure. Right? Basically, to wake up and work hard for what I and I seek that's good. Right, we can point to scripture, you know, areas of Torah, but some people say, well, you know, in reality, well, this is reality right here. All right, so here, like the eye to take note right here, and hopefully as we go forward, we get into more of a breakdown and a kind of a build right here. Some of the Chabarim, most of the Chabarim already know we've been speaking about this from longer time. You know, but the first thing first is that, you know, we have to go through and learn these things for ourselves. Give us a teaching of his majesty, I and I want no devil's philosophy. And these are principles. These are principles. If you know who we are as once lost, now found black and brown people, you'll know that we lost a lot of these things. As Father even says that, you know, he will like bring forward a people who are no people to provoke us to jealousy, which is basically what's going on. We get into more details, but here, in connection with today's daily psalm, I'd like to share this right here. Take note. Yes, I.
No, this isn't an anti-Semitic video. It's an educational one, and we hope you'll learn something by the end. Throughout history, Jewish people have been perceived as being wealthy. But where did that rhetoric stem from? We know that Jewish people, like all people, have their wealthy, middle class, and their lower income group. So Aluxers, today we're going to delve deep into this thought process. Welcome to Alux.com, the place where future billionaires come to get inspired. If you're not subscribed yet, you're missing out. Number 1. Judaism and Wealth. Judaism doesn't cast poverty as a sign of righteousness, as other beliefs might. Instead, they believe each person should avoid poverty and be gainfully employed to earn their own living. This is a fundamental value that has led to a good work ethic and a personal responsibility for each person earning their own keep. Jewish people also believe in giving. They believe that 10 to 20% of wages should go toward religious and charitable causes. However, they don't believe in relying on charity to lift yourself up, and certainly not to become a burden on the community. Growing up with this kind of mindset makes for a solid foundation to see success as the only option. Number 2. European Jews couldn't own land. If you think anti-Semitism was only popularized in World War II, think again. Jewish people have had a tough history, including not being able to own land in Europe from as far back as the medieval times. But where there's a will, there's a way, so Jewish people found alternative ways to build their wealth outside of property owning. One of them being merchants and traders, industries to this day where they still have a big footprint in most countries. This created a safety net for Jewish communities, because where their services were needed, they were safe. Number 3. Religious opportunity was taken. To Christians in the Middle Ages, charging interest was a sin. This prevented them from holding any type of financial job, leaving the opportunities in that field open to the Jewish community, who did not see lending in the same way. Jewish people became prominent in money-lending businesses. The Jewish people's early success in this lucrative business was a forerunner for many of the stereotypes we hear today of Jewish people. Number 4. Opened the first banks. It was a hop and a skip from money-lending to opening the first banks in Europe for the Jewish community. They could manage transactions, transfers, and day-to-day financial services, plus continue to lend money and charge interest with their strong background in finance. This was a much-needed service on a developing continent and helped to fuel further growth. But it wasn't all rosy. This success also led to jealousy, which fueled much of the anti-Semitic sentiment throughout the ages. Number 5. The most educated religious group. In 2016, the Pew Center released a study which listed Jewish people as the most educated religious group in the world. On average, the Jewish community receives 13.4 years of schooling. When it comes to post-secondary degrees, Jewish people hold 61% of the qualifications. What's more surprising is the vast difference between first and second most educated religions. Christians rank second most educated, but compared to the average of 13.4 years of schooling among Jewish people, Christians only rack up an average of 9.3 years at school. More credentials lead to a higher starting salary, and this immediately improves the financial status of Jewish people right out of university. Number 6. They look after one another. Perhaps it comes from a long history of being marginalized, or perhaps it's just inherent nature, but Jewish people have a deep pride in sharing their wealth to benefit their community. This mutual aid mentality is a part of their ethos and ensures that each member of the community is supported to enable them to succeed. If someone opens a new business, the community will rally around them to support it. If someone else falls on hard times, the community will try to help them out. Judaic law instructs that poor people are to be respected and protected. This strong focus on uplifting the whole community has meant that even shunned Jewish communities have managed to survive the hardest times by investing in one another. The idea of wealth is not just to accumulate wealth, which is seen as vanity. Wealth is seen as a means to an end to grow a community. It is highly frowned upon to not give generously to the social and spiritual needs of the community. Number 7. Their religion teaches good business practices. The Torah and many Jewish philosophers, leaders, and writers have made it clear how Jewish businesses must operate. According to these teachings, there's absolutely no room for dishonest practices. Any deception, collusion, or price-fixing against a consumer is known as ona'a, which translated means oppression. Fleecing the consumer is seen as an oppression of their freedom. Knowing that you're going into business with someone who's inspired to good ethics by a higher power makes Jewish business people a very attractive business partner to many. Number 8. Resilience and perseverance are second nature. Despite extreme challenges, Jewish people have shown resilience throughout. It's woven into their fabric and the focus remains on the spiritual and practical. With this resilience and perseverance, giving up is not an option. When things go wrong in business, which happens, there's no self-pity, but an attitude of, shit happens, let's figure out how to fix it. As author of The Money Code, Become a Millionaire with the Ancient Jewish Code, H.W. Charles wrote, "The Jews are known for their perseverance, and this is what helps them achieve their goals. Perseverance means continuous persistence in a course of action, a purpose, in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement." Number 9. Good financial education taught over generations. Jay-Z got a lot of pushback for his comments on Jewish people in his track, The Story of O.J. The controversial line was, "You want to know what's more important than throwing away money at a strip club? Credit. You ever wonder why Jewish people own all the property in America? This is how they did it." It was seen by many experts as reinforcing the stereotype that Jewish people have some kind of global control of property and banks. However, Jay-Z defenders saw it as a shout-out to Jewish success and a hint to the black community to follow similar business ventures and invest in each other. The kind of generational knowledge and market confidence in the areas of finance and property that the Jewish community has is enviable, no matter who you support. Number 10. Parents teach their children the value of money. In many households, speaking openly about finance is taboo. Parents try to protect their children by not sharing if they're having financial troubles, or if they're wealthy, displaying that it's okay to splurge. By using five jars, many Jewish parents teach their children how to be money wise. Each jar is labeled tithe, giving and offering, saving, investing, and spending. Children are given 10 shekels, and the child puts one in the tithe jar, one in the giving and offering, one in the savings, two in investing, and five in spending. The giving jar is opened up on Sundays. The tithe, which means tenth in Hebrew, is opened at the end of the month. The savings is opened on special occasions, and investing is only opened when full. Parents don't intervene and the child is responsible for the money, but the children learn from their mistakes and take ownership of their decisions. Number 11. Wealth is managed effectively. Sages of the Talmud, the lives, sayings, and stories of 400 rabbinic masters, a book written by Mordecai Javotitz, is a great read. You can also hear it on Audible, and it shares many words of wisdom, including how to manage money with spiritual motivation. The book also touches on finances and diversification. What diversification means is that capital is allocated in a way that doesn't expose too much to one particular risk or asset, but rather spreads it out to reduce the risk. To sum it up in its most basic form, don't put all of your eggs in one basket. Number 12. Networking is important. Hey Luxers, we all know how networking opens doors and business opportunities, and only by actively engaging with others can we grow our business and wealth. People do business with those they know, trust, and who are genuine. With Jewish communal life, there is ample opportunity to network. The Sabbath, synagogue, and Jewish celebrations help to build long-lasting relationships, both business and personal. Number 13. Look at the past to plan the future. Hey Luxers, we've all heard the saying, history repeating itself. The Jewish community are aware that any circumstances arising now are not new. By looking at similar situations that have happened in the past, it's easier to make better business and financial decisions for the future. Patterns repeat themselves. Wealth is gained by learning those patterns or trends, understanding market cycles, and gaining a foothold on worldwide currency. Kelso Kukierkorn, author of The Secrets of Jewish Wealth Revealed, beautifully writes, "Until now, your money has told you what to do and how much to work. Now you're going to turn that around. You'll learn how to tell your money what to do and how much to work for you." Number 14. Advice from one of the richest. Mark Zuckerberg was raised in a Reform Jewish household. He had a Star Wars-themed bar mitzvah. He was just 19 when he started Facebook in 2004. Zuckerberg says he's become more religious since becoming a father and often dispenses great advice for up-and-coming business leaders. He says, "Some people dream of success while others wake up and work hard for it." To help you along your financial journey, we highly recommend you watch our video, 10 Life Hacks That Actually Work, where we explain an interesting concept called Parkinson's Law. Check it out. Number 15. The Simple Truth. Hey Luxers, it is true there are a lot of Jewish people that are rich, but it's also true there are a lot that are poor. The same goes for every other person, Jewish or not. The Torah does teach beautiful principles for success in life, which we can all learn from. Self-learning, education, and a hunger to learn will set you on the right path to becoming financially secure. Rebetzin Dana Weinberg, Orthodox Jewish Rebetzin and founder and dean of Ayot College of Jewish Studies for Women in Jerusalem, shares advice we can all take in. There are no problems, only opportunities for growth. Well, Aluxers, what lessons can you take away from today's video? Share your thoughts with us in the comments below. And for sticking with us until the end, here's your bonus. There's a long history of why Jewish people and money have been portrayed the way they have been. Some believe there are secret Jewish societies running the world behind the scenes, controlling all the money. And Aluxers, it's up to us to stop fueling these stereotypes. We need to speak openly about our differences, privileges, and historical legacy. We need to educate ourselves and acknowledge the journey that Jewish people have undertaken. Until next time, Aluxers, remember to click subscribe for more thought-provoking videos every day, and hit us with a thumbs up if you enjoyed this one.
Yes, yes, yes. I know ones and ones probably have different reactions upon hearing that right there. Beside that Mark Zuckerberg part, even though he said some things that are true, you know, wake up and work hard, you know, for what you're seeking to do. And it's interesting that right after we had checked out that video, that the whole Facebook thing and the exposing a whistleblower came out and he shut down the whole platform and all of Facebook's products, such as Instagram and WhatsApp, you know, they shut it down right after. So it was interesting. He had a Star Wars theme bar mitzvah, like WTF, you know, but after all, he's from a sort of reform, you know, Jewish, so forth and so on. But the key really is Torah. One thing we notice that a lot of times they like to say Jewish, 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 and then, you know, they recognize people, look at them, and white Jews and so forth and so on, or she's a European. You know, the European Jews couldn't own, like, a land in Europe, so forth and so on, which shows that they did look at it within the context of, okay, European Jews or Jews from that particular right there. But as I and I listened to it and went over it, I said, Chan, you know, these things, the main principles of all the 15 come from Torah, come from the scripture, comes from the glory of his majesty. And then I also noted historically from 3,600 or so, you know, going back BC, you know, to present times, to 1974-75, that the Ethiopians or the Israelites of Ethiopia also maintain a lot of those principles, many of those principles that are Torah scripture based. She began off by saying that, you know, many religions teach that, like, poverty is some sort of like a virtue, you know, like it's good to be poor, so forth and so on. Even though many of the same religions, you'll see that the people who run the religions, you know, tend to have wealth and tend to utilize many of these same principles. There was another video that was interesting. I think it was a black African. I think it was an African preacher or pastor, and he was saying how religions have destroyed Africa. More correctly, we want to do a follow-up video to that, that is actually Christianity or whitewashed Christianity, the perversion, counterfeit Christianity that has actually destroyed and is destroying Africa and destroying black people, you know, in this whitewashed mythology, all this based on a misreading of the Bible. But once again, Ross Michael says it's here, and we got like 8 minutes before going forward right here, just to hear this again with your own ear right here, here, here. Who are we? We are the black people.
You name Jagat and it's a rebel among men. He didn't know life. Yes, a new name, Jagat, and it's terrible among men. He then no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He then no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He then no like your name.
I and I are the black Jews. And Israel king is Israel God. And upon the crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified, you see I-N-R-I.
Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
And one of the anointed titles of Rastafari Mekonnen Negus Rastafari is King of Israel. 72 nations bent the knee and bowed and acknowledged that fact. Right there here. This is a little clip from Dr. Ephraim Yitzhak, Ephraim Isaac right here. And speaking, he is a Beta Israel. He links to the Beta Israel, the black Jews of Ethiopia. But he had an interesting observation while studying, you know, the ancient orthodoxy, Ethiopian Tewahedo Church, an integrally African church. He had an interesting observation to share this with you.
I would like to read a paragraph from my introduction, which says, some might ask why a Jewish person should write a book about the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church. From my first year at Harvard University, when I became the first Ethiopian student of the famous Divinity School, studying comparative religions, I began to realize that the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church is the most Jewish of all Christian churches.
I mean, after all, the lion of the tribe of Judah, because that's our only remnant, we could say, of I and I peoples, because of keeping to the covenant and the covenant principles that never came under, we could say, the Gentiles, the Greeks, the Greco, never came under the Assyrians, never came under the Babylonians, never came under the four kingdoms that we, I and I peoples, have been under all of those, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the latter Greeks who were white, and the Romans, right there. Now, here, you got like 4 minutes, 4 minutes, 515-602-9761, 515-602-9761. Now, we'd like to unpack each of those 15 and to provide the evidence why these are Torah principles, why these are the glory of His Majesty, the Bible. He says, for my part, I glory in the Bible, and how I and I can truly glory in His divine majesty, Ketamawi Haile Selassie, being of the new name, the precious name, new name, Rastafari. Here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Well, let's actually just couch this up right here and go to verse 17. There was warnings. This chapter here, Deuteronomy chapter 8, has warnings and exhortations. Exhortation to exhort someone. Mamarinya, the word like manet, like to build up, like you're building a house to build up, to warn someone and to build them up. So it's a build right here. From verse 17, it says, and thou say in thy heart. So John is saying to John people that when you come into the land and you possess her, you possess the land, beware, watch out that, you know, as we go from being poor, so to speak, you know, in financial terms and other ways as well, to being rich, that we don't say in our heart, you know, like a lot of people basically, you know, even if other people help them out and everything, they begin to get, you know, rich in spirit, in their own spirit, you know. And they say this here with Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, it says, but thou shalt remember Yahweh Eloheka, remember Exiabihir Ramlaki, the sustainer of thy source, for it is he that giveth thee power, the ability to do what? To get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, that he swear to thy fathers, thy patriarchs, as it is this day. Let's unpack this right here for a moment. To remember he who be, who he be, our power. Why? Because it is he that giveth thee, giveth I and I, the power, the ability to do what? To get wealth. So clearly in the scripture in the Bible, Jehovah saying to Jah people that he's giving us the ability to get wealth. I'm not going to say, like, make money. No, get wealth. Wealth is more so than money. If you have wealth, then you can easily get money if you need money. Money is just the promissory notes that are exchanged back and forth. In itself, it's just pieces of paper, right? But paper does matter, especially in this world right here, here, here. That's why we go to this first of the paper, right? The scripture, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. But note the context here. Here we're reading this and we're seeking to bring out some reading comprehension. But we can just read through it and we think we understand it, but hopefully this breakdown and build will show the inner meaning and the application. Like, this is science. This is knowledge. Knowledge is science. And here is applied science, applying this science. For it is he that giveth thee, giveth I and I, the power to get wealth. And that power, the key of that power is wisdom, is wisdom. But why? Why does he give us power to get wealth? It goes on. That he may establish, his covenant. So that means the children of Israel, they did not have a covenant here in Deuteronomy, in the section of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Yes. But being firmly established, also the economics, we can say the financial is important to establish that, that he may establish his covenant. But notice the context here and the reason one of the brothers, heal up, Brother Tobiah, yes, I, Tafari, we had reason on this some years ago, no doubt that I remember it, right? And he's a brethren among other brethren that keep the covenant, seek to keep the covenant, but also to understand these financial aspects and give thanks for, you know, introducing enough facts concerning Bitcoin, that diversification, as you heard in the audio, diversification. Don't put all your eggs, so-called, in one basket. But here Jehovah is saying that he giveth thee power to get wealth that he may establish. So the reason for wealth, see, this is the key. One's going to get rich. Well, why? Why? So you can then put your head up when you see other people who you think are rich or something like that? No. John is saying to I and I to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. His covenant. That he swear to thy fathers, patriarchs, as it is this day. And we say this as it is this day. Verse 19. And it shall be, Jah says to I and I, ancient ancestors, it shall be if thou do at all, forget Yahuwah Eloheka, forget he who be, we be, thy power, thy Elohim, true good, true God, and walk after other gods. Now, walking after other gods, like walking after counterfeit Christianity or any of these other so-called religions. And I'm not against them. That's good for them. But what is good for us? That's why we play the 15, you know, the 15 reasons why Jewish people are richer. Because really they have walked into something or come into something and you say, they stole it from us. No. Many of our ancestors were stupid, were wicked, were righteous. I didn't say all of them. I said many, many. All right? As the original Rastaman said, we are the children of Israel, and we're in this condition because we broke Jah covenant. We broke the covenant. I mean, even the scripture says, as we go through the scripture, it brings out something very interesting. Let's see if we can find that particular verse right here. And some of y'all probably, some might hear this, and it's just so hard because when we say Jewish, you're thinking of white folks, and, oh, they are ish, they are ish, they're like smallish, middle-ish, or something like that. No, ish means man. And Jew is just a short in English of Yehuda. Don't get it twisted. Look at the black Jews, even we, the black Jews. Don't get it twisted. Look at the Beta Israel. Don't get it twisted. In Romans, Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 19, it says, but I say, did not Israel know? Didn't Israel know these things? Because it says, speak to the children of Israel. Speak to the children of Israel. Speak. Didn't they know? First, Moses, he saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. Watch, once the so-called European Jews, white Jews, as some of them are forsaking a lot of this, as more of us are picking it up, as they forsake it more and more, you'll see that they are this no people. But they have become a people, right, in what we threw behind us. We threw this behind us because you can't point to one place, one area, one time in history where we were living this and a bunch of European white Jews came and beat us down and took it from us. No, you'll find us living as other people, following other people's gods. And when I say other people's gods, I'm saying even some of the African gods too. Because the African gods, maybe they were given to those African people. But you see, identity is important. You got to know who you are. If you don't know, then that's the first thing. All right, identity. Here Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. So John already knew these things, already knew the end, even in these end times, from the beginning. Sometime in reasoning with some of the other brothers and ones and ones, especially the brethren, sometimes we don't show what Torah says. We try to show Ethiopia, the example in Ethiopia, especially prior to the rebellion against the King of Kings. Try to show that. You see that right there? You see that right here? Like even in the first Torah reading and feeding, right? We read about the 22 creations that are broken down in some of the Judaic documents. And then we found the Sinefitret, something called the Sinefitret, the science of creation. And there it speaks about the same 22 creations, right? And then you just heard Dr. Ephraim Yitzhak, or Isaac, who is an Ethiopian, but he's also a Jew. He traces his root, his ancestry, right, to the Israelites of Ethiopia from the time of Solomon and the Queen of the South and the Queen of Sheba, just as the lion of the tribe of Judah. So our people broke the covenant. You see, there was an interesting part in that audio. The five jars was interesting. You heard the five jars and the 10 shekels? Five jars. One jar is for tithes, the tenth. One jar is for giving and offering. One jar is for saving. One jar is for investing. One jar is for spending. I recall growing up where ones and ones in my family relations, being black American, Judah, Yehuda here in this North country, a lot of times they would say if somebody was good at money or you couldn't easily swindle them, hustle them, con them out of money, they would say, oh, you a Jew, you a Jew, you a Jew. And that was always some very interesting, you know, we would make these kind of statements like, well, you see, a lot of things are similar, you know, they do certain, they eat fish on Friday, we do this on Friday, so forth and so on. And it was almost like in our DNA was crying out, right? But then we would still go back, you know, to counterfeit Christianity where they had a white Jew up there, a white Khazarian, you know, as Jesus, so forth and so on, telling us a whole bunch of things that the Bible don't even say. But the five jars was interesting, the five jars. Now, in the jar for tithe, right, that would only be open at the end of the month, the end of the moon. Right, like tithes, like, you know, for like in the seasons, there are times for giving tithes. You know, when we study this in detail in Torah, so we got to study this. But the next jar for giving an offering, this will be open like on like Sundays, like the Sundays. I thought that's interesting because Sunday, Hebraically, right, also Judaically, and according to the careful Ethiopians, not the careless, but according to the true church and the professing church, Sunday is the first day of the week. We call it Ehud from Ahad. And you say, Ahadu Amlak, Yahuwah Ahad, Adonai Ahad. So that one would be open on Sundays, givings, offering, first day. Savings, interesting, one shekel, right? It looks like $1, so to speak, right? On special occasions, special times, like holiday, island day, special occasion, right? The one on investing, remember they teach their children this. Even in the audio and the video, it said that many ones, on account of Christianity, if parents are having trouble with money, they try to spare their children the talk of money and so forth and so on. You know, that's from the counterfeit way, right? But teach your children, teach them the truth, teach them about economics. Torah is all about economics. In fact, in the New Covenant, the one they call Jesus, speaking of our rabbi, Yeshua HaMoshiach, he spoke in terms using the analogy of money, and he spoke about money more than he spoke about salvation and heaven and many other things. It's facts. You can look it up. He spoke more about money. Because after all, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Jesus, as you call him, in the New Testament, he said to the Samaritan woman, y'all worship that which you don't even know what you're worshiping. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews, of Yehuda, of Judah. So the jar on investing that had two shekels or, to say, $2, right, would only be open when full. You know that the one for spending, where you put five in there, right? It didn't say when it's open. It's open whenever, I guess, you need to spend, right? But this is what is taught to children, right? What we teach and what we should teach and what we did at one time teach our children. Where do you think they got it from? You think they're so wise? What, because of, due to their complexion or something like that? Or lack thereof? What? No, it's because of what they hold to. In fact, if you listen to the whole or watch the whole video, it was only at the end that he started to give the hint. They gave the hint. You know, near the end of it, they gave the hint about how the Torah teaches this. The Torah teaches it. The Torah teach all of that. Teach all of that. That's why when you look at them, you say, well, they basically are white people like the other white people, so what really separates them? The thing that separates them is that those so-called white people hold to this, can we say, black truth? So parents, black Yehudi truth, lion of the tribe of Judah truth. So the parents don't intervene. You know, once they teach a child the principle, this jar, this jar, this jar, this jar, put this and this, this and this, this and this, and this and this, they leave it alone. Why? Because children are responsible. The child is responsible for their money. So they teach children financial responsibility very, very early, very, very early. Another key that we like to say right here on the record, this is what was the key for the successful communities known as the Black Wall Streets. Just let that sink in for a moment. Many of the Black Wall Streets post so-called emancipation, you know, or the black communities, right? Well, communities of black people, right, who did believe in the Bible, but the difference between those communities, the old black Christianity, the old black Christians, and the post-civil rights, the civil rat race Christians, right, is those Christians, right, old black Christians, they really read the Bible, right, Old Testament, New Testament, and that which they understood, they applied to their lives in liberty. You know, like doing one for another, helping one another up, even helping ones, the community, that the wealth was there to build the community. See, nowadays we're told that the wealth is to build the individual ego. That's vanity. But the wealth was to build the community. So the main purpose of the money was for the common unity, the community. So that's the secret of the Black Wall Streets and those successful examples of black communities. I mean, you can even go so far to even point out, even in Jamaica, right, even with Leonard Percival Howell, right, and that particular community there as well. But let's just move on right here. We'll focus on that as we go forward. So parents don't intervene. And therefore, the children learn responsibility with one of the most important things, and that is money, wealth, finances. The next thing is that they learn from their mistakes. They learn from, this is how you teach your children, learn from their mistakes. There's some ones and ones amongst our people that the first time that they really learned about money is when it was out of the house or when it was under from their mother's skirts or from their poppy and their mammy, right? And it was disastrous. They didn't know nothing about it. They had to go to special schools to learn about, you know, wealth and money, right? That they didn't learn or could not learn these things in their own homes. But learning from one's mistakes as well as taking ownership, this is the key. Taking ownership of decisions. I mean, I hate to say this, but not going to point out anyone. There's some old heads, right, that still don't take ownership of their decisions. They made the decision, but trying to blame someone else. And to think that others teach their children from very young to learn from their own mistakes. There's a couple of keys right here that we like to share, you know, on this theme, seeing that we find in today's daily psalm, the happiness of one who considers deals wisely with the poor. That means in some cases, you might consider a person who is, quote, poor, and you might think, well, I'm going to give them something. They're hungry right now. I got to give them something to eat because that's what God tells me to do, and that's what's right to do, and if I have to love them as myself. And regardless if I differ with them on this or that, this is my people here. I got to help them out. But then after helping them with their immediate needs, they see whether they can help them other ways so that they can do for themselves so they won't become a slave to your giving. And this is what happened when we look at Africa and certain other parts of the world. They're slaves to the American dollar. You know what I mean? They're slave to this. And then we think that, well, you know, the rich countries, they got to do this for us. Maybe they should do some things for us, but don't you think we should do these things for ourselves? It goes on right here, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19. And it shall be if thou do at all forget Jehovah thy God, and walk after other gods, other people's philosophies, other people's ideologies, and serve them, and worship them, and give them some high value. I testify, as we testify here on the T to T, right, I testify against you this day that ye shall perish, as the nations that Jehovah destroyed before your face. Now, another interesting point here, because some people say that, oh, the Hebrew is from Canaanite. It's all Canaanites. The Hebrews were Canaanites. No. The Canaanites also had to deal with the landlord. You know, like you move in a building and somebody else was in there. Are you these other people? No, you're in the same situation that they were in. The landlord had given you rules and regulations. And if they kicked these other people out because these other people violated, then why don't you think you'll be kicked out too? I mean, if that landlord is just and righteous. As the nations that Jehovah destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish. Why? Because ye, y'all, would not be obedient to the voice of Jehovah, y'all, Elohim. There's some other notes that we had took down from the five jars was one of the most interesting notes right here. A couple of takeaway point, right? Judah, Yehuda, even the lion of the tribe of Judah, communal life as wealth is for the community to build up the community and ones in the community. We have Judah communal life, the Sabbath, the gathering, the synagogue or the gathering together here, I, they Rastafari, the church of the firstborn, the celebrations, the Isla days, right? Building long-lasting, you know, opportunities, right? Long-lasting opportunities, both for business as well as personal, spiritual and practical. You see, some people look at it as the pie in the sky after you die. They say, oh, when I get to heaven. But the real idea in the scripture was to build heaven, build those higher principles here on the earthly plane. Go over the Lord's Prayer again, the Our Father prayer. It's there. Business with what? Spiritual motivation. What do we mean by spiritual motivation? Well, to be dishonest in business practices, right, is to uck up. It's viewed as ona. It's viewed as downpression. So we talk about how Babylon downpresses us, but then how do we downpress one another? Because even if and as we're to deal with Babylon, how can we deal with Babylon if we first don't clean our own house? Check, check. Yes, sir. Rastafari, I know we have today's daily psalm according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews. But here, we're going to just go to the classics right here, because some things we got to chop down, some things we got to cut away, you know, some things it's our responsibility, right, to take responsibility. Yes, sir.
For my next number, I'd like to return to the classics.
Yeah. Here. Cut the
rocks. So no one take it personal. Who not talk about done? You think me come for done? All me have to do is send for the new gun. Anything tested, just fly off those head. Down the mercy. Look a dill, 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 till a boy get killed. Look a dill, 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 you better sign on the will. Look a dill, 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 a boy get killed. Look a dill, 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 look up in the barrel. Limb by limb, we a go cut them down, send for the oxa. Take out the tongue. Limb by limb, we a go cut them down, send for the oxa. Take out them tongue. When them see me, see the hit man a come. See me, see me just can't done. See me, see the hit man a come. Me say me just can't done them one tie, them one tie. Me come a them general, them things say, them things say. Them a the general, them one tie, them one tie. So come a them general, them things say, them things say. Them a the general, look at them a pose up like a them run the world. Let me tell you something, say me gun it to me girl. Look at them a pose like a them run the world. Let me tell you something. Hug up and kiss, sleep with that night. If a boy try a thing, me shut out in my sight. You know I a night is dandy might. When me hold my cap, wanna stick the truth and right. Limb by limb, we a go cut them down, send for the oxa. Take out the tongue. Limb by limb, we a go cut them down, send for the oxa. Take out the tongue. When you see me, see the hit man a come. See me, see me just can't done. See me, see the hit man a come. See me, see me just can't done. Them one tie, them one tie.
Cool.
So come on them general, them things say, them things say. Them on the general, them one tie, them one tie.
Cool.
So come on them general, one them no say, them no say. I'm on the general, pick your cup. Are you very smart? You know see I and I me come in those spot. Pick your cup. Are you very smart? You know see cut the rank a rule up this spot. Pick your cup. Are you very smart? You know see I and I me coming down at the city gun shop. When that fire hit, at all the informer them, them fi step back to city gun shop. When that fire hit hot, tell them I and I rule up this spot. You see the gun shop. When that fire hit hot, you must build a big house. Who overdub that with flowers a do we a flowers on top. No pretty candle hit up in a that mind me send you down there. Go cool and relax, you think all the day in when you hit up in a that. Listen, I and I pan the mic just a chat. Them one tie, them one tie. So come on them funeral, them things say, them things say. Them on the general, them one tie, them one tie. So come on them funeral, one them no say, them no say. I manage the general, let me limb by limb, we a go cut them down, send for the oxa. Take out the tongue, limb by limb, we a go cut them down.
Yes, yes, yes. And even that there, you know, even when it's necessary, he was speaking metaphorically initially, but even when that is actuality for I and we of the covenant,
that is governed by Jah's directions and instructions. When he says not to pity. Just give you a couple of verses right here, Deuteronomy 13 and 8. Thou shalt not consent to him, one who go against Jah's teaching, the teaching of his master, nor hearken to him, nor listen to him. Neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spear him, neither shalt thou conceal him. Deuteronomy 13 and 8. Deuteronomy 19, 13. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, from Israel, that it may go well with thee. No snitching. People talk about no snitching and wonder why it doesn't go well with so-called black people. Once again, Deuteronomy 19:13. I mean, knowing when ones and innocent ones have been killed, but you fear and the bad man, the bad boy. You're not even helping out the bad man, the bad boy. He needs a good example. That's why Deuteronomy 19:13 says, thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well. That it may go well, tov, with thee, the eye. Deuteronomy 19:21, and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now, I know some people talk about what Martin Luther King Jr. said. Well, he had a dream, right? We have Jah's word. Deuteronomy 19:21, the context of this is also for compensation. Where we have compensation in law, like somebody's working on a business and or somebody accident hurts them and then they go to court and they have to pay for this other person until they get better. That's the sense of this right here, compensation. That's the initial sense. But in another sense, it could be applied like that, but usually was applied for compensation. The eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and 12. Then thou shalt cut off her hand, thine eye shall not pity her. In other words, if a man and a man get in a situation and then he meet his woman to fight and she's the fighter, nah. It not work like that. Maybe you should have chosen another kind of man. Anyway, right here, going to write up interesting Cuddy ranks right there, you know, general. And then we had the Prince of Reggae, Dennis Brown, First Light, with the No General tune. And so here, going over today's daily psalm to Fred Locks, and the tune right here, the Rhema tune is Voice of the Poor. Here.
Psalm 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen, and amen, and amen. Thank you.
מזמור מם אלף למנצח מזמור לדוד. אשרי משכיל אל דל, ביום רעה ימלדהו אדוני. אדוני ישמרהו ויחייהו, ואושר בארץ, ואל תתנהו בנפש אויביו. אדוני יסעדנו על ערש דווי, כל משכבו הפכת וחוליו. אני אמרתי, אדוני חונני, רפאה נפשי, כי חטאתי לך. אויבי יאמרו רע לי, מתי ימות ואבד שמו? ואם בא לראות שב ידבר, ליבו יקבץ אבן לו, יצא לחוץ ידבר. יחד עליי יתלחשו כל שונאי, עליי יחשבו רעה לי. דבר בלי יעל יצוק בו, ואשר שכב לא יוסיף לקום. גם איש שלומי אשר בטחתי בו, אוכל לחמי, הגדיל עליי עקב. ואתה אדוני חונני והתימני, ואשלמה להם. בזאת ידעתי כי חפצת בי, כי לא יריע אויבי עליי. ואני בתומי תמכת בי, ותציבני לפניך לעולם. ברוך אדוני אלוהי ישראל, מהעולם ועד העולם, אמן ואמן.
The importance of wisdom. So here in this Shana, in this year, at the beginning of the year, and here in the out-of-season time, after the seven moons and after the seven appointed feasts of Jehovah, we're out of season. But this part of the season right here, coming up to Fasica, Pesach, coming forward, Passover, coming forward, according to the Ethiopic Book of Jubilees, is a time of study. You know, the winter moons is time of study. Be sure to get a copy of that document right there. Have that available at the LOJS. So here, Wisma, she, right, the mother. Wisdom is the mother. Torah is the mother. The soul is she. I'm pointing this out because in counterfeit Christianity, it's just he. And that's not so funny, right? Because the fact is that in the beginning, Bereshis, as we've gone through with the first sabbatical study, was in the beginning. Here we're at the second Torah reading and feeding sabbatical study, Noah, right? The Noah Torah portion. But just reflecting on the previous, so if you didn't get a chance to hear, please hear the previous Torah reading and feeding. Really go in deeper into the divine feminine from the beginning. Because if we have our father, then we must have our mother. Robeinu Yeshua HaMoshiach, our black Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he's known, he says that wisdom is justified by all of her children. In the beginning, in the principle, in Chokmah, in Wisma, in She, did he, the powers, create the heavens and the earth. So here in Proverbs, the Mishlei Shlomo, the Mashal, the Proverbs of Solomon. Think about it. The Queen of Sheba, Queen Makeda, she came to Solomon to test him, but with hard questions. What was the Queen of Sheba seeking? She was seeking wisdom.
her merchant named Tamarin told her that this is wise Hebrew, this wise Judahite, this wise black Jew king up there in the north. And she's like, nah. You know, I haven't met no wise man. You know, if you're a wise woman, I haven't met no wise man. I mean, Tamarin, you my dude. You know, Tamarin was her merchant. You know, her merchant. He traveled around, got the best goods, right, for the Queen of Sheba's kingdom that expanded and stretched over the Red Sea from the Aden, speaking about the Horn of Arabia over there in Sana'a, Yemen, Benjamin, right, Yaman, across to northern Ethiopia. Some of our Ethiopic studies really points to the fact that the Queen of Sheba was of a Tigra, Arabian Tigra connection, but, you know, as well as Magdala. This is why the Ethiopians have a testimony of Yeshua, right, in Ethiopia. But anyway, here, I'd like to touch on a couple of why we go to Proverbs and really love the Midrash reasonings. The Midrash is like the studies where we go into the Psalms, and then it's a build on some of the key and significant verses and comparing scripture with scripture, right, to get a better groundation, right, a better foundation. So here in the wisdom of Solomon.
سلمون مال ارسو بفيت
These are also the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out.
So right here, just a little brief excerpt in connection with what we shared a little earlier. We're going to Proverbs chapter 24. Chapter 24, let's see right here, 23, 24. Okay, chapter 24, verse 23 to verse 27 for right now. This is zoom in right here. Now, this section is an appendix to the second section, right? So this section is appended to the collection of proverbs of the Mashlim in the Hebrew, the Misalewoch in them heart, the Mishal Misale, the wise sayings that began at Proverbs 22, verse 17. Some of the sentences are in prose, like a rhyme in a sense, that suggests that we have miscellaneous, like, you know, various like little like wise sayings right here that had not been incorporated in the foregoing. So even Proverbs is built in different parts. And remember the connection of Solomon, right, with the Queen of Sheba and the Queen of Sheba and Ethiopia and Menelik and the Israelites and Ethiopia, Ethiopian Hebrews. So this connection, our roots right here. So here from verse 23, it says, these also are sayings of the wise. So it might differ a little bit in some key words from the KJV, but take note of that. And hopefully if there's any question, we can follow up on that. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. These also are the sayings of the wise. Gamele la hakamim. Gamele, gam, also, ele, these, la hakamim. Of the wise, also in a Hebraic sense, it could be for the wise. These also these are of the wise, for the wise. Now, remember the son of the King Solomon of Jerusalem and the Queen of Sheba, one of the names that he's known in the Kever Neges, Queen of Sheba and son Menelik, he's known as Eben Hakim, and that's sometimes brought out in translation as a son of the wise. So here, Proverbs. These also are the sayings of the wise ones, Hakamim, the ones of Hakma, the Hakamim. To have respect of persons in judgment is not good. Now, a lot of people, because that song, I like the song too, but you can't really apply it higher than this wisdom here. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, what does that mean to me? Blah, 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 blah. And people say, well, if you respect me, I respect you. So even if it's a wicked person they respect, you're going to respect them. But here it says to have respect of persons in judgment is not good. Here in the Hebrew, haker panim. B'mishpat bal tov is not tov, is not tawab, is not good. In the Hebrew, literally, this is recognition of faces. Recognition. I know him. Look, I know him. Yeah. So he's ratchet as up, but because you know him, therefore you're going to give him partiality in judgment over the person you don't know, who is the innocent and the wrong person. How can such people ever prosper? Haker panim b'mishpata bal tov. To have respect of persons, recognition of faces, is not good. Partiality, this is what it's saying, the phrase partiality, haker panim, partiality to faces. Partiality of any kind in the administration of justice is stringently forbidden by Torah, by Jah's directions, instruction, by the glory of his majesty, the B-I-B-L-E, by the Bible. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, for example, and Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. Verse 24, he that saith to the wicked, he that saith to the ratchet, thou art righteous. People shall curse him. Nations shall extricate him. Now, because of the difference here, we're going to have to quickly scroll to the KJV to see what how the KJV says, because no doubt the brothers and sisters, whether they have a copy of this, they might be reading the KJV version of this. So this is chapter 24 right here says, he that saith to the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations and even other nationalities, other nations shall abhor him, shall think of him as like just disgusting. That's disgusting. You're saying to a wicked person that they are righteous. Wicked, righteous. In the legal sense, according to Torah, these terminologies that some people take as religious on the counterfeit Christianity and the times of the Gentiles get confused. But in the straight, to keep it straight, in the legal sense of Jah law, the wicked is the guilty and the righteous is the innocent. So that means in some situations, if you are the guilty in this, though you basically are righteous elsewhere, you're innocent elsewhere, here in this case, you're guilty. In this case, you're wicked. Even if someone who, generally speaking, maybe is guilty in certain things concerning Yahweh, but in this case, they are right in the case, limiting to what is under scrutiny, they are innocent. People shall curse him. The verse is concerned mainly here, as we study it, with a governor or one who has a charge or responsibility, who exercises his function as a judge unfairly or with partiality. Such a person earns execration, curses, being abhorred, thought of disgusting, of all over whom he rules because they feel insecure. Ain't this the case in Babylon with these false grudges and judges? That's them right there. Just to give an example, that's them. You know, these judges, these grudges over here. That's why you see the lost sheep are running around saying, no justice, no peace, and begging the nations, the Gentiles, the sons of the slave masters for justice because their pastors and preachers haven't pointed them to Jah word, get them caught up on worse than crack, counterfeit Christianity. Next verse, verse 25. But to whom they decide justly shall be delight, and a good bracha, a good blessing shall come up on them. Decide justly to reprove, to condemn one, and to sentence the guilty, to condemn. A lot of times we may condemn something, but there's no sentence of the guilty. You know what I mean? It's like in the Torah where it says, like, if my brother gave me some money for something or whatnot, $100 to hold, and I took the money, I spent it, then he came for his money, and I said, you didn't give me no money, right? And for a while I was going like that, but then after a while, you know, the proof, the evidence, or my own, you know, better angels, you know, told me I just better own up. I can't just tell him, yeah, bro, I was wrong, yeah, I had your money, so everything is peace. No, I would have to restore to him, right, the money that I owe him, and according to Torah, I would have to give him a fifth, which is 20%. As well as, faithfully speaking, I would have to give the priest something too. I have to make an offering, so forth and so on. You know, basically to make up for my lie and my ratchetness, my guiltiness. So in other words, to condemn it, right, and sentence. In other words, what is the sentence from Jah Law, or based on the spirit of Jah Law, that applies to that circumstance or situation so that things can be righteous? Shall be delight. They shall fear well. Things will be good for them. A good baraka, right? A blessing of goodness, increase of goodness. Next verse here, verse 26, our main verse is 27, right? That's the main verse we want to bring, we like to bring out here. He kisseth the lips that giveth a right answer. He kisseth the lips that giveth a right answer. Now, in the KJV, it reads like, every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. But if you look at the KJV right now, every man is italicized and his is italicized. So the real force of the Hebrew would be, kiss the lips that give a right answer. I remember at one time, before I got into the deeper studies, you know, I started to apply this since Mother Wisdom, you know, Sister Wisdom, she talks about the good woman and the bad woman, you know. So people say, oh, look, a proverb is sexy, talking about bad woman and this woman is a harlot and everything. But Wisdom, you know, our sister, our mother, she gives us direct, without partiality. So I used to apply this, you know, some doctors, you know, that, you know, I was seeing or interested in, you know, after reasoning or whatever, I went and kissed their lips. I mean, that's how literal I was before I actually studied it. You know, that's how literally I applied it. But kiss of the lips, what does it mean? Usually this is taken as a Hebraicism or idiom. It denotes really a demonstration of friendship. Now, not to go long on this right here, in other parts of the world, mine, because they're secure in certain righteousness or ways of liberty, they may show more love to their brothers in respectful ways, right? But because we're under this Batiman civilization, Babylon and everything, you know, even something getting too close, a man getting too, hey, why are you coming up on me? Because, you know, too many Batiman. But anyway, demonstration of friendship, straightforward, honest speech. This is what is being brought out. Straightforward, honest speech is a mark of true friendship. This idea of kissing the lips, straightforward, honest speech is a mark of true friendship. So you have a homie and you tell a homie about something. The homie says, nah, you wrong. But you my friend. You my friend. Remember, we go way back. No, nigga, you asked me about this situation. And you know, I love you, man, but you're wrong in the situation. That's straightforward, honest speech, and that's the mark of true friendship, right? But kissing the lips is not elsewhere mentioned in the Bible. And it is, some say, doubtful whether the practice then existed in the literal sense. So it's a metaphor right here. As late as the second century, it was regarded as, some say, immodest, kissing the lips. In one of the Talmud, the teachings, it records that Rabbi Akiva, he praised the Medo-Persia. It's like Iran would be Persia today, and Iraq would be Mede, the media. Not media like we call media, but that's what they called it back then. Right, because when they kiss, they only kiss on the hand. The verb is also used in the sense of, get this here, in Psalm LXXVIII and 9, in Psalm 78 and 9, as well as 1 Chronicles 12:2, 2 Chronicles 17:17. It's used in the sense, the Hebrew verb of equipped, of armed, to like equip somebody or equip yourself to arm yourself. Austerly, he translates, he that equippeth the lips with knowledge. So we see the translation here that some of the translators have translated literally. You know how we use words, black people, you know how we use words. You know, there's a kind of a dual sense of it, where if you have the spirit of, I'll say, black people, you get it. But if you don't, you'd be like thrown off. That's what this is here, because it's ours. He that equippeth the lips with knowledge. He that equippeth the lips with knowledge. It's preferable to supply a word like truth as the object. And the second clause, that is literally returneth upright words. So in the translation, when it says that giveth a right answer, from the Hebrew brings out the sense of returneth upright words, will then indicate here straightforward judgment. So even if you're judging your homie in something, if it's your best homie, right, you're still going to give them the truth, even though you know they're not going to like it and they're going to call, remember back in the days, remember what I did for you, so on and so on. Well, yeah, because you did all that good for me, I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to be straightforward with you. But here is the verse that we sought to get to by giving that kind of introduction right there. Be economically sound before marrying. Be economically sound before marrying. Proverbs chapter 24:27. See what wisdom, right? Wisdom. What mother wisdom? Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Now, what in the world does this mean? Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Now, we already gave one the superscription right here in this section. This section right here, this verse right here, brings out a key Hebraic, Judaic principle of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Be economically sound before marrying. Now, from the Hebrew here, it says, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thy house. So this is virtually one for one, though some of the other verses were different from the Hebrew translation directly into the English and from the KJV. Let's break this down right here and build it up. I'm going to have a little section for a little midrash right here on today's daily psalm on the outro right here. Without. Without means in the field, the background being agricultural, the agricultural life, and make it fit for thyself in the field. Fit means ready. The object being thy work. Have the ground. This is to say, have the ground, the groundation prepared with crops and livestock. Right? You see a field right there, or you just get married, you don't have nothing. But no, here this is teaching our sons, because really wisdom directly is teaching disciples, teaching young men. And I thought about that. So why does it focus when we read the Hebrew and the Amharic? It's like you're speaking to, like I'm speaking to an individual man, right? Or in some cases to a group of men. Because it's mother wisdom. Now, women generally already have wisdom, whether it's wisdom from above, the higher wisdom, or wisdom from below, the lower wisdom. But generally, men don't have it. And I thought, is this what happened in the fall from the garden? Right? The woman was seeking a little more, but the man, by breaking that one commandment, he lost the little he had. He messed up his wisdom. But here, it is teaching young men, sons, to have the ground prepared, right, with livestock, right, and crops. So we can also learn from this even today. We can apply the metaphor, upgrade it to nowadays. And then it says, and afterward build thy house. Now, the interesting thing in the Hebrew with the word for house, right, bait, it's the word bait, buy it in the old sense, buy it. And in the Ethiopic sense, bait, contracted bait. But then in the Hebrew, we have the word bat. Bat means daughter. So the connection of a house and the daughter, like we say, Imabate, the mother of the house, is very intimately connected in the Hebraic. I share that there so that hopefully when ones read here and there, you can see the iritical, the spiritual, you know, string or cord that ties all the pearls of wisdom together. Build thy house. This is a Hebraicism as well. It doesn't literally always mean just build a literal house. What it means is to marry and rear up and raise up a family. We know this from Ruth. Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. The Rebbeinot, the scholars of Torah, similarly, they recommended a man should first build a house, literally, right? Then plant a vineyard. After that, take a wife. In other words, after that, now build the house, you say more in the figurative sense, right? What really constitutes the house? Once again, a man should first build a house, prepare the ground, right? Then plant a vineyard. And after that, take a isha. After that, take a wife. So here. Yes, sir.
These are also the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out.
Right here, a little midrash here on today's daily psalm, right here on the outro, right here, to the dub, Alpha Omega meets the disciples, right here, today's daily psalm. Yes, sir.
For the chief musician, for the leader, La Menatseach, for the Menatseach, for the overcomer, Mizmor Lidawi, a song, a chant, Isis, Mizmor Lidawi, Ashrei Maskil Ildal, blessed is he that considereth the poor. Ashrei Masakil Ildal, happy Ashrei Beatitude. Ashrei Masakil, happy is he that considereth. Ashrei Masakil Ildal, the poor, the dal. These words are to be read in the light, in the illumination, what scripture says elsewhere, even in Qohelet, in the preacher, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 14 to verse 15, the A part of the verse, and it reads, there was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now, there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet not people consider that same poor
Man. Gamzo. Aiti hakma tahata hashemesh. Ua gadola hi helai. This also have I seen as wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. It seemed great to I. Gamzo aiti hakma tahata hashemesh. Ua gadola hi helai. Ira kitana. Wa and Nashim Baha Naata Uva Eliha Meleka Gadol with Zaviva Otaha Ua Bana Aleha Miz Odima Gedolin Ua Mata Baha Isha Nisakena Hakam Ua Milatahu Etaha Ira Bihakmato with Adam Lo Zakar Eta Haisha Ha Misakin Hahu. There was a little city, Ir Kitana, and few men within it. Wanashim Baha Ma'at. And few men in her, Wanashim Baha Me'at. And there came a great king against it, and there came a great king against her. Uva leha meleka gadol, and besieged her, with Sabi Otaha. With Sabib Otaha and besieged her and built great bulwarks against it and built great bulwarks against her. Uvana Aleha Mitz Odima Gidolin. Now there was found in her a man poor and wise. Umatza Baha Isha Misakein Hakam, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. U Amilatahu Etahair Bit Hakamato. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. We Adam Lo Zakar Eta Haish Ha Misakin Hahu. The little city is the human being, the Ir Kitana. The little city is the human being. Few men within her are the organs in the body. Where Nashim Bahamat, few men within her are the organs in his body. Where Nashim Bahamat, there came a great king against it, is the inclination to evil, the Yetzer Hara. Inclination to evil comes against it. There came a great king against it, against her. Uva aleha melek gadol. And built great bulwarks against it, built great bulwarks against her. It's great traps against it, great traps against her. Uvana aleha mitzodim gedolim. The poor man and wise is the yetzer hatov, the inclination to good, the yetzer hatov. The poor man and wise. Ish misakein hakam. Ish misakein hakam is the Yetzer Hatov, and he by his wisdom delivered, I delivered the city, delivered it from the punishment of Gehinnom, Gehinnom of Gehenna, Hebrew hell. And by his wisdom delivered the city. Ua milat hua et ha'ir v'chakmato v'chakmato. And why is the Yetzer HaTov, the inclination to good, called a poor man, called an ish misakein? Because not all people heed it. Therefore David said, because not all people heed the Yetzer HaTov, the inclination to good, the inclination to do good, the Yetzer HaTov, blessed is that man who does heed it. Hence here it is said, even in today's daily psalm, blessed is he, Ashrei, happy is he that considereth the poor. Ashrei maskil ildal, happy is he that considereth the poor. Ashrei maskil ildal. Another comment on, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Ashrei maskil ildal. B'yom ra'ah yimaltehu Yahuwah, happy is he that considereth the poor. Jehovah, he who be we be will deliver, will I deliver him in the day of evil. B'yom ra'ah yimaltehu Yahuwah. These words are to be read in the light, illumination, what scripture says elsewhere, even in the Mishlei Shlomo, in the parables, the proverbs, Mashal, in Proverbs 19 and 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord. Malwe Yahuwah Chonen Dal, he that is gracious to the poor lendeth to Yahuwah Jehovah. Malwe Yahuwah, Malwe Adonai Chonen Dal, Malwe Adonai Chonen Dal, Malwe Yahuwah Chonen Dal, he that is gracious to the poor, the dal, lendeth to he who be, Rav Yochanan said, he who visits a man in poor health removes 1/60th of his illness, and he who does not visit adds 1/60th to his illness. Rav Abin observed, if what Rav Yochanan says is true, may 60 persons come to visit a man who is in very poor health, and so rid him of his illness. According to Rav Eliezer Elijah, the verse alludes to one who buries the corpse of a poor unknown person. And here, the Midrash references the burial of such a person is a general obligation, for no one is as destitute as an unidentified corpse. Thus,
The burial of such a person is a general obligation, for none, no one, is as destitute, as poor, pole, as an unidentified corpse. According to Rav Abba, the verse alludes to him who sees to it that his Yetzer HaTov, Yetzer HaTawab, Yetzer HaTov, inclination to good, inclination to do good, has thorough knowledge of his inclination, Yetzer HaRa'ah, his inclination to evil, to do evil. So Rav Abba, according to Rav Abba, the verse, it alludes to him who sees to it that his inclination to good, to do good, has thorough knowledge, da'at, of his inclination to evil. A little additional on this Midrash reference here, that one's inclination to good, to do good, the Yetzer HaTov, needs to have thorough knowledge, full knowledge, epinosis, full knowledge of his inclination to evil, of his Yetzer HaRa'ah. Here the references to the word Sakal. The word sakal, as we have it at the root of masakil in Ashrei Masakil Ildal. Happy beatitude, happy Ashrei Masakil, Masakil. The root here, sakal, that is interpreted as considerate. Ashrei Masakil Ildal. So here. The word considerate is the H7919, the root word sakal, 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 to be prudent, to be circumspect, to wisely understand, to prosper, to be prudent, to be circumspect, to give attention to have comprehension, have insight, looking into some of the definitions. Right, to the Hebrew, to the HD, to the Hebrew dimension, the Hebrew definition, as we can get here, get into the Strong's definition. It's a primitive root, to be in a causative sense, to make or act, but to be circumspect, hence to be intelligent, to consider in that sense, be expert, instruct, prosper, prudent, skill, have good success. Teach, understand, to have understanding, to make, to understand, wisdom, to be, behave, consider, self, behave, self, make wise. Also, in this translation, to guide wittingly. So some of these areas where we have these words translated may refer to the sakal aspect of masakil. Let's get into the root of this word and the reference here, according to Rav Abba, that the verse, it alludes to him who sees to it that his inclination to good, to do good, has thorough knowledge of his inclination to do evil. Thus the Saka, as we have it in Masakil, Ashrei Masakil, Ildav, blessed, happy, beatitude is he who considereth, being circumspect, Ildav, to the poor. According to Rav Asi, the verse, it alludes to him who is considerate and gives money to the poor. According to the Memharan, according to the scholars, the Rebbeinah, according to the rabbis, the verse alludes to him who helps another flee from persecution by the kingdoms. What was Rav Abba's reason for saying that the verse alludes to a man who sees to it that his inclination to good, Yetzer HaTov, has thorough knowledge of his Yetzer HaRa'ah, his inclination to do evil? Because the verse Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Ashrei Masakil Izal. Happy is he that considereth the poor. It shows that a man is able to deliver the inclination to good from the inclination to evil. The verse, Ashrei Masakil Izal. Happy in the beatitude sense is he that considereth the poor. This shows that a man is able to deliver the Yetzer HaTov, the inclination to do good, from the Yetzer HaRa'ah, the inclination to do evil. As for Rav Asi's comment, it is explained by the next verse. The next verse that reads, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Yahuwah Yishamerehu Weachayehu. Yahuwah Yishamerehu Weachayehu. Jehovah, preserve him and keep him alive. As for Rav Yohanan's comment, the next verse says, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of illness. Jehovah supports him upon the bed of illness. Yahuwah Yisa Adein Al Eres Dewai Al Eres Dewai Al Eres Dewai. Jehovah supports him upon the bed of